We might have a call right now. Jean in Chicago is calling in. Let's go to Jean in Chicago for a question for you, Professor Crapt, and see what we can do.
I'm not quite sure what kind of question I can ask in this program. I am actually reading one of Dr. Crapt's books right now about understanding the Bible. Mm-hmm. And
good.
I've had issues my life ever since I was a very young child with having transgender feelings and being attracted to persons of the same gender. And my experience really has been with Christianity that you basically are just told you either have to refrain from certain behaviors or you're at risk of perdition. And that's based on, of course, the Sodom and Gomorrah story, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and certain parts of Romans where St. Paul makes certain statements, which may be not, I don't know that St. Paul was infallible. I mean, only the Pope was infallible, so that could have been his own personal bias on things, or maybe that's where he was at that time in history. And my understanding is that there's still evolution of thought, evolution of ideology in the Bible going on even today, that some things are still changing and people are maybe having more understanding of things. And I just wanted to know what your take is on that, because it's really hard. You know, I have a brother who... he is homosexual. He's been with the same partner for 36 years, only with this one guy. They don't go to bars. They don't have sex with multiple partners. And, you know, he went to Mass on Midnight Mass and Christmas, and then guess what the homily was about? And they walked out during the homily.
Well, so, Professor Crapt, what's been asked so far by Jean? What is your response?
Well, first of all, there is a development of doctrine. But it's not a change. It's like the growth of a tree. So there's got to be consistency. And from the beginning, from Judaism's history and early Christianity's history, we always have a very clear sex ethic. God invented sexuality, and it was meant for marriage, and that was meant for procreation. So sex without marriage is not God's intention. Now, that's hard for everybody. That's hard for heterosexuals, too. We've got a problem of lust and evil desires. We're all disordered. So it's not just homosexuals. Their disorder is a different kind, but they're not another species. And the church has always taught that everyone, homosexual and heterosexual alike, are called to be saints. We all have to love God above all things, even above our own pleasures, whatever they are. So I don't think that categorizing this one group as especially doomed to perdition is accurate. And if some people, whether Catholic or non-Catholic, do that, well, they're not really doing what Jesus did.
Well put, because that's taking it back to what Jesus did. Okay, so that's exactly how we have to be able to answer questions about all sorts of ranges of behavior, because there are restrictions on us. The commandments, they say, are not suggestions, they're commandments. And a lot of them are hard for a lot of people to follow. And yet, there they are, and they're unchanged. And they're not going to change. The Ten Commandments aren't going to change.
And there are degrees of evil as well as degrees of good. Suppose a heterosexual is in a relationship that's not marriage, and it's a sexual relationship. Does it make a difference whether he's faithful to his partner, who's not really married to, or whether he's promiscuous? Of course it does. So similarly, within the homosexual community, it's a positive virtue to be faithful, even to a spouse that God does not approve, because he approves fidelity, even though he doesn't approve of homosexual behavior. And another thing is, desires are not something you have direct control over. Behavior is what you have control over.
Mm-hmm.
So to feel guilty about sexual desires, whether hetero or homo, is a kind of a psychological confusion. God blames us only for our free choices.
Right. There you go. And the acting out of a behavior that, you know, whatever the temptation is, whatever the will is or the wish is, it's the actions. Someday we will have to render an account for all that we did and did not do for sins of omission and commission. But what we do, I mean, everyone's called to chastity. If we all could just get chastity down right, people who are married, people who are single, clergy certainly. I mean, if everyone could live chastity, that's a big subject in the church crisis today, that we would have so much healing in our culture.